Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 18 through 20. Do the unexpected. What would you think of a person? Of a person in which has access to everything. Houses they never built. Vineyards they never planted. Whatever it is that they want, they have access to it. But they choose not to tap into it. They choose not to expect anything. They sit, they need, they have access to, but they choose not to reach out and get it. We would call that person foolish. Likewise, in the body of Christ, God has given us access to everything. Everything that you're asking God for, believing God for, you already have it. When you pray, you don't tell God what to do. If he's omniscient, which means he has total knowledge of everything, doesn't he already know? So why would God ask you to ask him for something that he's already given you? It must be more to it than the request. When you ask God for it, God wants us to pray what he placed in our spirit. So when we pray and we say, God, give me healing, we're asking God for healing because he already told us that we were healed. When you ask God for something, God never says, man, I didn't see that coming. What am I going to do? We do that. God wants us to take a step back and say, relax. I got this. I'm your father. I'm your provider. When you ask, I want you to do one simple thing, and that is I want you to expect it.
All right.
If you don't get expectation, it's because your faith is not right. When your faith is right, I don't care about your circumstance. I don't care about your situation. I'm still expecting it. You look crazy, but I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it because he told me. He can't lie. And so my prayer becomes, God, tell me what your will is for me. When God tells me what it is that he desires for me, what I understand from the book of Jeremiah is that before he created a for me, he knew all about me.
All right.
Even when you jack it up, he already knew what your crazy self was going to do. But he made an escape for you. Man look at you and man says, I'm going to bring it up again. God looks at you and God says, I can't remember what you're talking about. You asking God to forgive you for something that you did 20 years ago and he forgave you 20 years ago and you keep bringing it up and now God says, I took that thing, cast it into a sea of forgiveness. I don't remember. Why are you still walking around with it? It's hot in here. Get the hell. Us to expect things from him. When we begin to expect things from God, what other people are doing or try to do doesn't matter because my eyes eyes is on God.
Right.
The Bible says if you seek ye first the kingdom, which means God, what is it that you will for me? He says, whatever it is, when you grab hold of me, I'll give you healing. When you grab hold of me, I'll bless your finances. When you grab hold of me, I'll bless your relationship. But grab hold of me. Paul writes to the Romans, and he begins to write, and as he begins to write chapter number 1 through chapter number 11, he talks about the mercy of God. Now, the mercy of God is when you jacked up, but God doesn't judge you, because God says you're in the blood.
Amen.
He skips from 11, gets into chapter number 12, he put mercies aside, and he makes a plea to us. I must confess that I went in this thing saying, I'm going to preach chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you that, brother, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. That was my plan. I kept reading, and I understood after he said that, he started dealing with forgiveness. Forgiveness is when somebody does something to you and you can't let go. So what he's saying in verse number 1, he says you gotta humble yourself to God in order to see God. Listen to me. If a person will not humble themselves to God, the Creator, they will hurt the creation. You don't get it. If they have no respect for God, don't you expect them to respect you? See, because somebody said hurting people love to hurt others. So they all messed up because their happiness is predicated on something happening. And when something stopped happening, they all messed up. And now they want to see you in misery too. Misery does love company. So you got to be careful with the people that you allow in your life. When you allow someone in your life, you give them permission to speak in your ear game. What they speak inside of you, if they do it long enough, you will begin to believe it. That's why when you're going through something, you need to find a word and stand on it. Come hell or high water, no, God, you said this. I know what it looks like, but you said this. I know what it feels like, but you said this. I know what they say, but you said this. Stand on his word in spite of how you feel.
All right.
So he says to the church, he says, I beseech thee, therefore. In other words, he says, I beg you, I plead. He says, listen, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice. See, that was confusing to me. Because how can you present your body living as a sacrifice? Because a sacrifice has to be dead in order for God to receive it. You don't hear me? So what he's saying is that you gotta die to self. You gotta humble yourself to God. Then you present your body to him. He says, because that is your reasonable service, that you let God have his way. Because you were dead in sin and he resurrected you. And so now that he resurrected you, he says, can I have my way with you? Can I make you do the impossible even though you don't feel like it? Can I take you a place and make you bless your enemy? And it seems like they don't talk. But all of a sudden, God flipped the script and he does the unexpected. Won't God make your enemies your footstool? Won't God make a way out of no way? Won't God turn your situation around? He'll flip the script on you in a minute. Listen. In verse number 2, he says, be not conformed to this world. And when he says be not conformed, he says don't do it their way.
Right.
See, your principles, your character, your integrity has to be different different than the world. Just because they can clock out 15 minutes early and they okay with it, you're a child of God. You stay until 5 o'clock and you stay until with your mouth closed. See, because God is still watching. God looks at you when nobody else is looking. What kind of person are you at 4:55 on a Friday when everybody else is walking out? That's when character counts. Oh, come on, go to church with me on Sunday. Let me see how you act on Friday evening. See, because God will put you in a position to minister to people. That's what your life is about. Your life is not about happiness. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I just want to be happy. And it kills me. It hurts me. Especially in relationships. I'm not happy anymore. You leave it, you still won't be happy. Because you ain't happy with yourself. If you ain't happy with yourself, I don't care. I don't like her anymore. And God feels the same way about you sometimes. But you gotta commit to something. When you make a vow, stand on His word. Come hell or high water, the storms come, but God will see you through. God will see you through. That's what the world does. But He says to you, be not conformed. Watch this. But be ye transformed. Realize the problem. Because transformation takes a long time.
Yes,
baby, you don't change overnight. It takes a long time to change. And as God is dealing with them, He's also dealing with you. I don't want to bust your bubble this morning, but you ain't all that either. I don't want to bust your bubble this morning, but you got some faults in it too. So when God says, now be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed, He said, I'm going to change you, but it's going to take a second. I'm going to change you, but I'm going to take you through something. And so the moment that you come to Christ and you say, Lord, I'm changed, He says, all right, let's see. Let's put it to the test. And He brings one of your haters, brings one of your enemies, and He tests you to see how you respond, and you act a fool. I'm still talking about forgiveness. Just haven't got there yet. We have to first understand why we need forgiveness. Because some of us are in denial. It wasn't me. I did it right. No, you don't always do it right. You know, sometimes it really is you. So you may be right in your mind, but that's not how somebody else received it. You may have the intent to do right, but it doesn't come across that way. So the Bible says about two different sins. He says sins of omission, where I accidentally or I unintentionally overlook something, and sins of commission, those I participated in. In other words, He got you nowhere, everywhere you go, sin does. But God says, I came through Jesus Christ, and I've given you an escape. But I've given you an escape. You were created in the fashion, in the image of God. But I got to transform you over a process. And so He begins to put you in the presence of other people. And you say, they did me wrong. And God is trying to show you that iron sharpens iron. And the only reason you don't like Sue is because Sue is just like you. And the only reason you don't like Bill is because Bill is just like you. I can't stand them. No. The problem is they remind you of yourself. You really don't like you. And so you have this animosity towards someone else. And then God says, if you have this ought with your brother, He says, fix it before you come to the altar. That's why it becomes important when you come to the altar that we ask for corporate forgiveness. Because until you ask for forgiveness, God ain't hear nothing you got to say. No, not one thing. Unless you are a child of God, God is not hearing. No, not one thing that you have to say. And so what He's always trying to do is push us to a point of forgiveness. And now notice how Paul writes. rights. And now we're talking about forgiveness. Now Paul has the audacity to say to somebody here this morning who's going to take it the wrong way, he says, if it be possible.
Oh no, it wasn't possible for me. Oh no.
Because your mind is already made up. You're determined not to forgive. Because they did this to me and they did that to me. You know what? They didn't do anything to you. They put you in a position to receive your blessing. If it had not been for the fools in your life, you really wouldn't be praying. If it had not been for the struggles in your life, you really wouldn't know God. If it had not been for the sickness in your life, you never would have known God as a healer. If it had not been for the bills past due, how do you know that He'll supply all of your needs? Sometimes God will take you through something just to show you how bad. He says, now, I know what they did or tried to do to you, but I want you to do something else. He says, I want you to be kind to them.
All right.
Kindness confuses people. Because you acting a fool. And you wonder why I'm not getting mad. Did you hear me talking about you? Get mad. Did you know what Jeff said? Get mad. And you sitting there saying, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that. God writes through Jeremiah 31, through one of my favorite scriptures. I remember when I first accepted a calling in the ministry, I called my mom and I said some things to her, and she says, Jeremiah 31, 3, and it's been with me. And when Jeremiah says, through loving kindness, have I drawn thee?
Yes.
Through loving kindness.
Yes.
I know they acting a fool, but loving kindness. See, when you begin the loving kindness, he says, it's like heaping coals of fire.
Yes.
Over them. It's interesting that he says coals of fire, because fire does three things. The first thing that fire does is fire produces light. Jesus says, I am the light. He challenged you and I to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work. Somebody needs to see Jesus in you. Shut your mouth and let them see it. Quit quoting scripture and act like you're a Christian. You don't have to tell somebody that you're a child of God. They ought to see it in your walk. They ought to hear it in your talk. They ought to know it. From the life that you live. If you got to tell me you're a Christian, really? Let me see. In the midst of going through something, let me see you act like God. In the midst of going through something and it looks really bad, let me see you abide in Him that He may abide in you. Let me see you in the midst of going through something when it seems like everybody is against you, but you understand one thing, that is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Let me see you in the midst of a tough time, you still praising God. Understand that God dwelleth in the praise of His people. Let me see you in the midst of going through something. You said, I've been through some rough days, but I know that God would never leave me, never forsake me. Let me see you going through something. And somebody need a word, not a word that you're saying, but a word that your works is demonstrating.
Yes. All right.
Fire produce light.
All right.
Fire produce heat. John chapter number 3. It's a story where Jesus began to talk with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus had issues trusting what God is saying. Jesus says to him, you don't know where the wind comes from. You don't know where it goes. You just feel it. The Holy Spirit is the same way. The Holy Spirit is the same way. When you really grab hold of the Holy Spirit, or He grabs hold to you, somebody said it felt like fire. Shut up in my bones. I know it looks bad, but something is inside of me. I don't know what it is, but it won't let me hold my peace. You don't want me in there in your church because you're sophisticated. I take it outside. I He says, where the wind blow. He says, you don't know. You just feel it. He says, because when the Holy Spirit moves, you don't know where it came from. You don't even know where the Holy Spirit is taking you. You just begin to move. See, that's the thing I love about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will make you lose you. You can't be cute in the presence of God. Not with tears and mascara and makeup and snot and everything else. But you know, in the presence of God, you don't care. Then they get to church, and you tell me, well, we got to move on to the next thing on the program. No, baby, the program is praise all from the beginning to the end. Praise, because God has been too good to me. I'm going to praise him in the beginning, I'm going to praise him in the end. He is my Alpha, and he is my Omega, and he's everything between. So I don't need a reason or a time on the program to praise him. As a matter of fact, why don't you take about a 20-second nothing. I just want to talk to you. And what I got to tell you, I don't need anybody to hear. See, sometimes God will isolate you. And he'll isolate you from the foolishness, but he'll insulate you with the promises that he has. You can begin to praise God sometimes when it seems like you feel all alone. You need to begin to praise God sometimes when the people walk out. You need to begin to praise God sometimes when the folk is talking about you. Because as they talk about you, they send you on your knees.
All right.
Nothing grows in good times. Nothing. You go to sleep one night, you wake up, the flower is all of a sudden grown. In the darkness, you grow. God will take you through the valley, on the back side of the mountain, so you can grow. And you say, God, what are you doing to me? And he says, I'm setting you up for a blessing.
All right. But
God, it feels like a setback. No. It's a setup. From you. I'm setting you up.
Yes.
Now I'm going to take you a place And it's going to get uncomfortable. But just ride.
Yes.
Go get a little rough sometimes. Just ride. And so as he's flying us from glory to glory, you hear a little turbulence. And it begins to shake. And you put your seatbelt on, call the word.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know how it'll come out of it, but I do know. I'm strapped in safety. And so God begins to take you through something. And as he begins to take you through something, it gets a little rough. And he does the most amazing thing. He takes you then higher.
Alright.
God, if I'm afraid here, why you taking me there? He says, because there's an eagle in you. And the eagle always flies above the star. The turkey fly low. The chickens fly low. But there's an eagle in you. He says, you gotta rise above the naysayers, above the haters. See, because there's always room at the top. Crabs in a bucket, they're all in the same bucket, all trying to stop one another. But as God begins to take you higher, you discover there's room at the cross for me. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for me. But in order for you to get there, you got to surrender to him. God will always ask of you to do the unexpected. Because you're different. He begs you. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he says, now this is your reasonable service. What it is? Just to worship God. Just to worship.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just to worship. Just to worship. Come on and stand this morning. I want to speak to someone here this morning. And I want to say something to you. I want you to know that the thing that you're worried about, it won't happen. It won't happen. What you expect to happen won't happen, because God is going to do the unexpected in your life, and he's going to set you up for a miracle. He's going to set you up, and he's going to allow you to do something and to experience something, which he is in control, and he's going to do it in a mighty way. And says, I didn't even need your help. Because he's God, and he's God all by himself. He's God in the morning, he's God at night. He's God in my sunshine, he's God in my troubles. He's God all the time.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, and I say likewise to you, Lord. This morning, for that person that is here without a church home, no covering, I beg you, I beseech thee, my brother, come as you are. Just as you are. You never accept Christ as your personal Savior, backslid into the world. Just come as you are. Hallelujah.
church, hold some company.